Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessy Bussel Novik, and today we are studying the third chapter of Sefer Micha. We will present the perek, and we will also delve into Hakbalot, parallelism, in Shirei HaTanach, what some might call the Havdil, biblical verse. Micha Perek Gimel rebukes the evil leaders of his day. This chapter, perek, contains 12 psukim, and may be subdivided into three paragraphs, each containing four verses. Each set of verses addresses a particular group or groups of leaders. It describes the sins that were committed by said groups and describes the consequences of each sin, midah kineged midah, punishment in kind that will be delivered measure for measure. The groups are, respectively, psukim aleph through dalet, 1 through 4, leaders and officers. These men sin brazenly, in God's face, as it were, and they shall therefore be punished by haster panim, Hashem's concealment of his countenance. Psukim he through chet, verses 5 through 8, prophets of evil who speak glibly and claim that they preach the word of Hashem will be made to suffer because of the visions that they have presented fraudulently, offering their audience false hope. In the last of these verses, pasuk chet, verse 8, Micha contrasts the false prophets to genuine Nevi'im like himself. This brings us to the final set of verses, Psukim Tet through Yudbet, verses 9 through 12. In this paragraph, the Navi expounds on the sins of the groups listed above and foretells Hashem's retribution against them, Midah Keneged Midah. Since they seek to build up Yerushalayim through malevolency, the city will be turned into heaps of rubble. Since they take it as given that Hashem dwells, kevayachol, so to speak, among them in the Bet HaMikdash, therefore shall the Temple Mount be plowed over like a field. Before we turn to the text itself, a few words about Hakbalot B'mikra, parallel metrical feet in biblical text, particularly in Shirim, songs, such as Moshe's Shira at the splitting of the Red Sea, and in prophetic visions. These parallelisms come in several forms and serve a variety of functions. Perhaps the most common form of parallel biblical language is what's called kefel davar b'milim shonot, an idea or a particular word that is restated differently within a single line of text for clarity and or emphasis. You may recall that Micha Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet says, Shim'u amim kulam hakshivi eretz umloa. Listen, all ye nations, hearken, O earth, and all that exists therein. Micha juxtaposed the directive Shim'u, listen, with Hakshivi, hearken. The word nations is similarly parallel to the phrase, the earth and all therein. If listeners are not familiar with a word or concept in one of the juxtaposed phrases, they should be able to figure out the meaning of the verse in context. Alternatively, two parallel feet in a line may be intended for contrast, such as in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 65, verse 16. Perek Samachei Pasuk Yud Gimel. FYI, I'll be taking some liberties with gender when I translate. Ben Chacham Yismach Av, Ben Kesil Tugat Imo. A wise child gladdens a parent, whereas a foolish child is a parent's sorrow. At other times, the second parallel foot in the line of Nevuah completes the idea stated in the first. For instance, you may be familiar with this verse in Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, 19:8. Hashem's Torah is complete. It revives the soul. Now, in our text, we have a form of parallelism that can be called incremental variation. We encountered this in the first two chapters of Amos, wherein we find a formulaic group of phrases saying that although Hashem has tolerated three sins of nation X, shall he not penalize them for their fourth transgression? One may suggest that these formulae share a skeleton, which is fleshed out differently with each passing verse. This literary device aids in emphasis and clarification, while planting an idea that the audience will take away, reflect upon, and hopefully repeat to their peers. So it is with our perek. We will begin with Psukim 1 through 4, which I will translate in accordance with the simple meaning of the text. Please listen for parallelisms, for midah kineged midah, as well as for lashon nochtvel al lashon, my good friends, alliteration and consonants. For Omar, Shimu na Hashem Yaakov uktinei vet Yisrael. Halo lachem ladat et hamishpat. Sonei tov ohavei ra, gozlei oram me'alehem, usheiram me'al asmotam. Vasher achlu she'er ami, ve'oram me'alehem hishitu, et atzmotehem pitzechu, ufarsu ka'asher basir, uchevasar betoch kalachet. Az yizaku el Hashem v'lo yanel tam, v'yaster panav mehem ba'etahi, ka'asher hereyu me'alehem. Verse 1, and I spoke, saying, listen, if you will, leaders of Yaakov and officers of Yisrael, it is upon you, after all, to determine justice. As you may have noticed, the words lashay, leaders, and ksinei, officers, are parallel. However, instead of enacting justice, the leaders have become, pasuk bet 2, the haters of good and lovers of evil, bandits who steal the very skin of those whose clothing they have appropriated, and the flesh from upon their bones. Tat Mikra suggests that this verse is a continuation of Perek Gimel, chapter 3, wherein it is written that the nation's privilege steal the clothing off the backs of the poor and steal the mantles of the prophets. Be warned, gentle listener, that the description in the next verse is rather graphic. Pasuk Gimel 3. They who have consumed the flesh of my nation strip the people's skins from upon them and crack their bones to eat the marrow. And they have cut up the carcasses as one would when placing bones in a kettle, as with meat in a stew pot. That Mikra points out that the leaders of the nation are compared first to ordinary thieves, then to highwaymen, then to predatory animals, and finally to cannibals. Mitzudat David adds that the phrase Ami, my nation, cited in this verse, refers to the tzaddikim, the righteous, who truly deserve to be called members of God's nation. These virtuous individuals were robbed of their resources and were most vulnerable to continued victimization. What then will happen to the aforementioned villains who act brazenly in defiance of Hashem? Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Then, when the war and the exile are implemented, these criminals will cry out to Hashem and he will not answer them. He will conceal his countenance on that day in response to the depravity of the Rashim, that is, the evil leader's actions. Hashem will deal with the sinners midah keneged midah. The punishment shall suit the crime. Since the Rashim and Ksinim, the heads and officers, ignored the pleas of those whom they exploited, Hashem, in turn, will ignore the Ksinim and Rashim. Prophets are also considered leaders of the nation. In Psukim 5 through 7, Micha, speaking in the name of Hashem, rebukes the false Nevi'im, those soothsayers who placate the people with their false promises. Ko amar Hashem al ha-Nevi'im, ha-mat'im et ami, ha-noshchim b'shinehem v'kar'u shalom, v'asher lo yiten al pihem, v'kitshu alav milchama. Thus says Hashem regarding the prophets who lead the people astray, who when a patron prefers gifts of food into which the Nevi'im can sink their teeth, they declare that the patron in question shall have peace, and who, when they are not offered food in return for their services, advise instead that the client prepare for war. This brings us to the sixth pasuk. Lachen laila lachen michazon, v'chashcha lachem miksom, uva ha-shemesh al ha-Nevi'im v'kadar alehem hayom. I will translate this pasuk with the help of Radak's interpretation. He proposes that the text refers to the coming era of war and exile, wherein the prophets' lies will be exposed, and they will suffer greatly for the fraud they have perpetrated. Micha says, therefore, because of the false visions you have described, it shall be as night for you, and darkness will befall those who practice sorcery, so that they may not continue, and the sun shall set upon the Nevi'ei HaShekel, turning the light of their days into pitch darkness. Micha compares the coming devastation to darkness, a universal symbol for obscurity and gloom. Those of you who are familiar with Yiddish may recognize the phrase as vet mir finster und eigen. My eyes grow dark. I am overcome by a tragedy that is about to unfold. Loosely translated, of course. Notice that we have three parallel feet in this pasuk, in which Micha cites three synonymous terms. He refers to the forthcoming desolation as laila, night, choshech, darkness, and the verb kadar, pitch black. And when this exposure happens, Micha continues, Pasuk Zayin 7, Uvoshu hachozim, v'chafru hakosmim, v'atu al safam kulam, ki en ma'ane Elokim. The seers will be shamed, the sorcerers will grow pale with embarrassment, and all of them will cover their lips, indicating that they regret the words they have spoken. All this because they have no response from Hashem. As such, they are publicly shamed. Micha, however, is not like the aforementioned Nevi'ei HaSheker. He is not afraid to speak harshly in public, even to the nation's leaders who are in a position to do him harm. In Pasuk Chet 8, he contrasts himself to his insincere colleagues, saying, V'ulam, Anochi maleti koach et ruach Hashem u'mishpat u'gvura lahagid liYaakov pisho v'liYisrael chatato. But I, on the other hand, am filled with koach, power, that comes to me through the Spirit of Hashem, as well as justice and bravery. Thus am I able to broadcast the transgressions of Yaakov, that is, the northern nation, and the sins of the rest of Israel, the two tribes in the south. What, you may wonder, is the difference between pesha, which I have translated as transgressions, and chet, which I have translated as sin? I thought you'd never ask. Pesha refers to purposeful, spiteful transgressions. This term describes the sins of the ten tribes' kingdom, whereas the word chet refers to sins that are committed b'shogeg, unwittingly. In Micha's day, the people of Judea had not yet begun sinning purposefully, yet being the operative word. Now, in the final paragraph of our perek, Micha turns not only to the aforementioned leaders and the officers of Yaakov and Yisrael, but to other categories of leaders as well, such as judges and kohanim, priests. Pasuk Tet 9. Shimuzot, Hoshe bet Yaakov uktsinei bet Yisrael, hamit avim mishpat, vet kol hayishara yakeshu. Hear now this prophecy, ye heads of Yaakov, that is the kingdom of the north, and officers of Yisrael, that is Malchut Yehuda, who defile justice and thwart all that is straight. The directive Shima'u implies more than physical hearing. It also connotes reflection and obedience. Thus, when the Torah says Shema Yisrael, it informs us to think carefully about the words we're about to say, to understand and to obey. Similarly, when someone asks in English, do you hear me? She's not inquiring as to the status of another's audible range or the cleanliness of his or her ears. The speaker is saying, do you understand what I'm saying? Are you going to follow through? Micha closes this perek with a final midah keneged midah in verses 10 through 12. These psukim are addressed directly to the leaders of Malchut Yehuda, the developers of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud. Bonet Tzion b'damim v'Yerushalayim be'avla. Tzion is built with blood and Jerusalem with evil. The word damim, blood, alludes to blood money. Members of Tzion's upper class have upgraded the area, establishing magnificent towers, palaces, and so forth. These edifices were built on the backs of impoverished laborers whose salaries were delayed or even withheld by those who commissioned them. The word damim, blood, may also allude to bloodshed. The Navi continues in verse 11, speaking of Malchut Yehuda, Yudalev. Rasheha b'shochad yishpotu, v'chohaneha b'mechir yoru, u'nevi'eha b'chesef yiksomu. V'al Hashem yisha'enu, le'mor, halo Hashem b'kirbenu, lo tavo aleinu ra'a. Its leaders judge according to the bribes that they are offered. You've heard the expression, the best justice money can buy? Its kohanim, priests, will teach only if they receive a fee, and the so-called prophets will perform their wizardry only if they are offered silver. These individuals, Micha says, lean upon Hashem. That is, they claim that since Hashem's mikdash is within their domain, they are safe from harm. But they could not be more wrong. Hashem has no need for bricks or boards or precious metals. The Beit HaMikdash is meaningless without the devotion of Hashem's people. History shows that he did not hesitate to destroy a sanctuary when it no longer served his purpose. In the final pasuk of this perek, Micha prophesies, Lachen, v'glalchem tzion sadeh techaresh, v'Yerushalayim iyin tehiyeh, v'har habayit levamot ya'ar. Therefore, on your account, Zion will be plowed over. Yerushalayim will be converted to heaps of rubble, and the Temple Mound will become like forests that grow wild on high places that have been neglected. All of this development, implemented by Jerusalem's leaders, which is the product of a corrupt, unjust legal system that exploits the poor and the righteous, will be for naught. I hope that you have found the study of Perek Gimel enlightening, and that you will incorporate what we have learned about Lashon Nofela Lashon, Midah Keneged Midah, and Hakbalot BaMikra, biblical parallelism, as part of your textual skill set. I respectfully suggest, gentle listener, that you keep your eyes and ears open for further examples of parallelism in davening, especially in the Mizmorei Tehillim that we recite. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.